Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody out this morning. Good to see my son and his girlfriend here this morning, too. Welcome. Make yourselves at home. Turn your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be continuing our study in the Catechism, looking at original sin. We'll be in question 17 this morning, journeying on through this. The question is this: did our parents continue, speaking of Adam and Eve, in the estate wherein they were created? Our first parents, being left to the freedom of their own will, fell from the estate wherein they were created by sinning against God. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help this morning. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, that you sent a second Adam to undo what the first Adam did, Lord, that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may be saved from this sin, Father, this original sin that passed unto all of us. We pray for your enlightenment this morning, Lord. Enlighten your word to us. Help me to teach it this morning, Lord. Help those here and those who may listen to this over the internet, Lord. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, that outside of Christ there is no hope. Lord, we ask for your help, Lord. May you be glorified this morning. May the Lord Jesus Christ's name be magnified. In his precious name we ask it. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at verse 6. And we're going to look at this freedom of choice that Adam had. Chapter 3, verse 6 states, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat." And we know that this was the commandment that God had given to Adam, not to partake of this tree. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at something about decisions here, the choices we make. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul speaking of false doctrine here. Chapter 11, verse 3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." If you do not know what the Bible teaches, if you do not have the Spirit of God illuminate the Word to you, you can be moved in any direction. You could come across people that speak what I call Christianese. They have a language, but they have no Spirit of God in them. And you could be led astray. Look at 1 John chapter 2. And I've never put these two correlations together as long as I've been reading the Scripture. 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, I want you to keep that thought going right there. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at something here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes," the lust of the eyes, "and a tree to be desired to make one wise," lust of the flesh, "and she took of the fruit therein and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." The same sin back in the garden is the same sin that we're dealing with today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not from the Father, this is from the wicked one. Our second point this morning, let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. And we'll see how these choices lead to spiritual death. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If I could get there myself. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. And the preacher states here, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions," or sought out wickedness, sought out iniquity. Turn back to the book of Genesis. Let's look at chapter 6 on this wise. Right before the deluge, before God destroyed the earth with water. Six chapters into the Bible, and it says this in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Look also at James chapter 1. And the scripture bears witness to this, that sin is a serious, serious deal. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. And the Apostle James says here, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust," lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, "and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, most of us know that what it says in Romans, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look also at Romans chapter 8. Death with sin. And we'll see here in Romans chapter 8 that because of this sin, we're God's enemy. If we are not in Christ, if we have not turned from our sins and turned to Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity," or an enemy, "against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." No one in the flesh can please God. If we are in the flesh, we're actually His enemy. Turn to Romans chapter 5, and we'll look at our third proof text this morning. Romans chapter 5, and we'll see that we are Adam's offspring, and because of the sin that Adam committed, he was our representative. He was the first man. And all of us were born into Adam. We were born into sin. The Psalms tells us that in my mother's womb I was created in iniquity. I was formed in sin because of what our first parents did. Chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man," this being Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verses 21 and 22 on this. Paul tells the Corinthian church here, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verses 18 and 19 here. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of the one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, this original sin, even so by the righteousness of one, this being the second Adam, Christ, that fulfilled the law, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Turn to Isaiah 53, and this will be our last text this morning. The prophecy of the suffering servants who would bear the sins of many. And before I read this, I'd like to pose the question this morning. Are you only in Adam, or are you in Christ as well? Have you turned from your sins and turned to Christ? Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6, it says, "For who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Or, "Who has the Lord revealed his salvation to? To whom has he opened the blind eye? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray." And I would like to interject right here, all we like Adam have gone astray as well. "We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." If you are in Christ this morning, I want you to understand that you had a debt of sin to pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have turned from your sins and turned to him, he has paid that debt for you. Like the song that we're going to sing in the next hour, "His Robes for Mine." He took my filthy robes and put it upon himself on the cross of Calvary. And he took his righteous robes and he put it on me. And by somehow, that it's far beyond my mind could understand, I am declared righteous because of what he has done, not because of what I have done. For he has given me faith to believe that he bore my sins upon the cross. Verses 10 and 11 also, in Isaiah 53 here. And it says here, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Has Christ borne your iniquities this morning? Are you free from the curse that is sin? When you pass on from this life to the next one, has your debt been paid? For if your debt has not been paid by Christ, then you are responsible for that debt. I pray that you would consider that. I pray that you consider the condition of your soul. The Bible says that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You cannot earn this. You must turn to Christ. You must have His righteousness. You must have an alien righteousness outside of yourself to pay the debt that you owe. Amen. Yes. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you sent the perfect sacrifice. Thank you that you received the sacrifice. I've often envisioned when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven like the type that you showed Moses how to build here on earth, and that he went to the mercy seat and he applied that precious blood. And you looked upon him and you said, accept it. You accepted that perfect sacrifice. And we thank you so much for it, Lord. Bless the rest of this morning, Lord, the rest of the time teaching the children, Lord. Bless the next hour. Speak to us, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Christ's name we ask you. Amen.